Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The reason I grabbed my Bible this morning is that I'm going to be adding in, back in those verses that are left out this morning in the description of the passage. We begin with verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by John because of Herodias' wife, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to those evil things by shutting John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, You are my beloved, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The best story around. It's a story that changes our life, isn't it? The story of God and how he loves us. Good morning, good morning. It's great to see you all. So I want to think a little bit about water this morning. Have any of you had a drink of water this morning? Have any of you taken a drink of water? I have. Sure. That's kind of one of the first things I do in the morning is take a drink of water. How about you guys? And water is a source of what? What does water do for us? It's a source of what? Huh? What's the word I'm looking for? The source of? Starts with, yeah, I heard somebody say it. Kind of like that drum beat, isn't it? Ben, can you do that? Life, 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 life. Can you feel your heart beating? Life, 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 life. I think that's why we like drums, is because they help us be in tune with our own heartbeat and the fact that we're alive, that we have been given life by God. Water is such a blessing. It gives us nourishment for our bodies. It helps our bodies be strong and be well and healthy. Water cleans our bodies. Can you reach that? You bet. You can dip your fingers in there. It cleans our bodies. And it helps us cook our food, doesn't it? Water is important for the gift of life. Bless you. And this morning we're celebrating, can you reach? We're celebrating Jesus' baptism. But we're also celebrating our baptism. In baptism, we are washed in the waters, and we are raised up a new creation. The Bible teaches us we're raised up a new creation. And that means that we reflect God's image. We reflect the image of Jesus into this world. So with your lives of that are created from water and the things of the earth, with those lives, you guys get to reflect the love of Jesus into this world. That brings life to others, doesn't it? Yeah, that brings life to others. So dip your finger in that water if you can reach it. You can maybe make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Huh? Make the sign. Can you reach it? Can't quite reach it. Oh, there you got it. Just tall enough. Yeah, just get in there, Reese. You can maybe mark your sister. Can you reach the water? You want to reach the water? No? All right. Noah's going to get it. Arthur, you want to get some water on your finger? Oh, there you go. Isn't water nice? Ben, did you want some? Don't be bashful. Bum, bum. Bum, bum. Bum, bum. You like water, don't you? Me too. That's good. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for water. And above all, we thank you for life. For renewing our life, for continuing day by day to make us new. Bless all of these children as they are here in worship this morning. Bless them to be a light in their families, in their homes, in their communities, in their school. Wherever they are, help them to be a light that reflects the light of Jesus. So bless them and keep them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up today, you guys. And remember, you're baptized. Yeah, there's that heartbeat of life, isn't it? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young girl was sitting on her opa's lap. I'm going to use the term opa. That's what our grandkids call. They call me opa, and Renee, they call oma. So a little girl was sitting on her opa's lap, and he was reading a bedtime story. From time to time, she would take her eyes off the book, and she would reach up, and she would touch opa's wrinkled cheek. Just reach up and touch your own cheek this morning. She would touch her opa's cheek. And then she would alternately stroke her own cheek. Finally, she spoke up. "Grandpa, did God, or Opa, did God make you?" "Yes, sweetheart," he answered. "God made me a long time ago." "Oh," she paused. "Opa, did God make me too?" "Yes, indeed, honey," he said. "God made you just a little while ago." Feeling Opa's rough and wrinkled cheek again, then her own, she observed, "God's getting better, isn't he?" I like that story because it's funny, but it helps us see life from the perspective of a child. God's getting better, isn't he? But I also like that story because it begins to shine a light on an important promise that we receive in holy baptism. That promise can be encapsulated in a phrase that we in the ELCA like to use, always being made new. That promise of baptism is the promise that each and every day as we return to these waters, as we surrender our lives into the power that water has to wash over us to destroy and to clean that which is evil or out of sync with God and raise up a new creation. In those waters, we are always being made new. So Opa, Grandpa, Oma, Grandma, no matter little girl, no, little boy, no matter how old either are, no matter what age, in God's hands, they are both and we are all being made a new creation. We are all children of God. The problem revealed in this text from Luke is that we neither understand nor trust in God's method of making us new. That method is the word judgment. It's the best word that we can put on it. In the Lutheran faith, in the Lutheran community of faith, we might talk often about law and gospel. The law shows us our sin. It convicts us. It shows us where we need to be remade and reshaped. And the gospel is that word of grace then that comes into our lives and teaches us that it is by God's gracious hand that we are remade into God's image. It is judgment. And we struggle to trust that work of God. John the Baptist breaks onto the scene. We've heard a lot about John the Baptist lately in our readings. He's crying out to the people, "Repent and be baptized, bear fruit worthy of repentance." And when he is suspected of being the Messiah, he points not to himself but to Jesus. saying, "One who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to stoop down to untie the string of his sandal. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clean the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, and to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire." And we immediately say, gulp. We think this is bad news. We hear destruction and death. We want to hide. We want to hide, which is an indicator that we're still in the same predicament that Adam and Eve found themselves in the garden when they couldn't see the will of God for their lives. They hid. But verse 18 proclaims that this is not something to hide from. That this is not bad news, but instead good news. Verse 18 says, "So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news of God to the people." So what we hear as something to fear, God's judgment, is actually good news. In verse 19, we get a glimpse into why judgment is good news. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by John because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them by shutting up John in prison. Herod is the ruler of the kingdom that surrounds Jesus and John and those who are listening to them. Herod represents the old kingdom. He represents the corrupt kingdom. He represents the dying kingdom. He represents that which must be reformed. Through a baptism of spirit and fire, there is a new kingdom. There is a new king. And there is a new creation. And it's God's judgment that fits you and I, for the kingdom, for that way of life. This baptism that Jesus goes through in Luke's gospel is a coronation. It is a crowning of this new king. This new kingdom is coming to birth in Jesus. "This is my son, the beloved," the voice from heaven says. "This is my son, my beloved. In him I am well pleased." Jesus is crowned. He is receiving the blessing of his Father to become prince and king and ruler of all creation. Matthew Skinner of Working Preacher says that we see judgment in this way. Grain is good, chaff is bad. We are either one or the other. Therefore, judgment means salvation or condemnation. We see it as an elevator up or an elevator down, reward or punishment. He says we must reimagine judgment as good news. God's work of separating what is bad in each of us from what is good in each of us. It's God's work of fitting us for the kingdom that comes in Jesus Christ. New king, new kingdom, new creation. But it also, those words also reveal the threat, don't they? And we must not overlook the threat of judgment. You see, when we strive to build with Herod, when we use the power that we have in corrupt or unjust ways, when we work only for ourselves or for self-gratification, when we overlook our neighbor who is in need to lavish upon ourselves the good of this world, that self-promotional way of life, that self-promotional kingdom building will be judged. It will be torn down. And yes, that judgment hurts. It hurts because it tears us from our own agendas. It tears us from our own desires, from our sinful desires and sinful nature. It tears and it kills us in the process, in order that through Jesus Christ we may be built up again, in order to bring forth a new creation in you and in me and in all who are willing to undergo this judgment of God in Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 43 that was read for us earlier, God promises to be with us when we pass through the waters and when we walk through fire. God promises that through judgment, our true self, our true life will be preserved. It will be reworked and reimagined by God, and it will be made new. And we can trust God's judgment. My seminary professor used to say we can trust God's judgment. His name was Walter Bowman, because we know the judge. We know Jesus. We know the one who has walked through fire and through death. We know the one who has taken our sin, our judgment, our condemnation upon himself, and has given us his life in exchange. That one is Jesus. French writer Henri Barbusset tells of a conversation overheard in a trench full of wounded men during the First World War. One of the men who knew he had only a few minutes to live says to one of the other men, "Listen, Dominic, you've led a very bad life. Everywhere you are wanted by the police, but there are no warrants or convictions against me. My name is clear. So here, take my wallet, take my papers, take my identity, take my good name, my life, and quickly hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes away with me to death." This is what the judge has done for you and for me. He has in baptism given us his identity card, and he has taken ours as his own. He says to us in holy baptism, "Take my identity. Become a child of my kingdom. Become me, one who gives yourself for others, one who lives for the good of those around you and the world that surrounds you, one who loves, who forgives, who blesses. Become a new creation, for I have made you, and I am making you to be that very thing, a brand new creation." Dear friends, it's still a new year. It's early in the year, and we have a king, a new king. We have a new kingdom, and we are today and every day made new as creations of God's own hand. I want you to feel your cheek one more time. Feel that cheek. It's kind of comforting, isn't it? Go ahead and feel that cheek. No matter how old or how young, no matter how smooth or how wrinkled, today and every day you are made new to live for the kingdom of God, of Jesus, and you are empowered to do that by the Holy Spirit. Let all God's people say, Amen.